And welcome to She Thinks, a podcast where you're allowed to think for yourself. I'm your host, Beverly Hallberg. And on today's episode, we're focusing on the NCAA, which is allowing biological males on women's teams. We're going to look at why it's impossible to provide equal opportunities for both men and women without single-sex teams, how women have been discriminated against, especially in medals, titles, and scholarships, and what you can do to join the fight in keeping women's sports female. There's a lot of movement when it comes to the NCAA, and putting pressure on them can definitely make a difference. And joining us to talk about a meeting that's coming up this week on this and to talk about that is Adriana McLam. She is the marketing director and a spokeswoman at IWF. She is a former NCAA Division I volleyball player, member of the Florida International Women's Team, and now coach and recruiter to aspiring collegiate female volleyball players. Adriana, a pleasure to have you on She Thinks.
So glad to be here.
So I want to dive into your background a little bit, but before we do, set the stage for our audience. This week is an important week when it comes to the NCAA and the rules and guidelines when it comes to men competing against women. What's taking place?
Yeah, so tomorrow, April 25th, we are actually seeing that the Board of Governors is for the NCAA is meeting. That Board of Governors is comprised of anything from athletic directors at universities, independent people from outside of the NCAA, as well as student athletes representing Division I, II, and III. And so they're going into this meeting, and we are imploring them to do the same thing that the NAIA did, NAIA, which is another governing body, did a few weeks ago, and to vote to keep single-sex sports.
Obviously, this is controversial. Do you expect the NCAA to potentially make a new rule saying that it's only biological women that can compete against each other? Is that a possibility?
We're hoping for it. We're putting pressure. As of yesterday, over 3,000 athletes, female athletes, coaches, current and former, have sent letters to that Board of Governors group who will make decisions for the NCAA. And we're hoping we put the proper pressure on them to make the right choice tomorrow. And we hopefully to see that be implemented hopefully in the future.
Now, as you just mentioned, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, which is the NAIA, did establish a new policy that preserves single-sex athletic competition, the integrity of women's collegiate sports. Just curious, what kind of pushback or praise did they get? Was that passed pretty seamlessly? Because I'm assuming the Board of Governors of the NCAA is looking at that case to see how people responded to it.
Yeah, I will say in the female athlete world and coaching world, it was resoundingly positive. But the vote, just if that doesn't give you enough context, the vote itself was unanimously passed. So that board of that decision-making board passed it without even question. Because they knew that protecting female sports is really important to the protection of their female athletes.
As far as the NCAA and the guidelines that they have, how long have they allowed men to compete with women? How long has this been going on?
This has been going on for quite a while. There actually was a story last week of an athlete who is going into their senior year from San Jose State that has been a scholarship athlete. Division I level. So it's been going on for quite a while now. I would say a few years, if not more. But it's now being brought to many's attention as the problem continues to grow.
And the most recent stats I've seen is that to date, males have stolen over 913 trophies, medals, and titles from women and girls across 441 different competitions and over 30 sports. Also, more than 639 female athletes have been displaced by males in women's sporting events. I mean, this is widespread, and this is harmful to women on so many levels. There's the health side and whether or not a female could be injured by competing against a man, but it's also the opportunities. I think the scholarships are a big part of this as well.
Yeah, I will say there's the safety issue. We saw Peyton McNabb at the high school level over a year ago where she was knocked unconscious. It affects her life daily. I talked to her. She actually was an intern for a little bit, and I talked to her daily, and she has been affected long-term because she was hit by a ball, by a male athlete. And so we have that safety, but I do agree that the big thing is opportunities. I spoke recently on a panel about how the NCAA truly was formative for me. It was 4 years where I was able to use the NCAA to get my education. I also held leadership spots, both at what they call the Student Athlete Leadership Council, at the conference level and at the NCAA level. Like, I held these leadership positions, which made me into who I am today as a leader in my company, as someone who is a coach and recruiting coordinator. And those opportunities, on top of even money and monetary opportunities, are being taken away from female athletes who rightfully deserve them and earn them through years of practice and dedication to their sport.
And you mentioned Peyton McNabb, and she's been on She Thinks to tell her story about the ongoing struggles with her brain injury that she has today. And she competed in the same sport that you competed in and the one that you still coach in, and that is volleyball. Tell us about competing against a man. I'm not sure if you ever did in your time. Tell us about the danger you think about, not just for this sport, but other sports, when it comes to the strength of men versus the strength of women.
So I will say this, I've competed against men, but in co-ed leagues where I opted in to play against men, where I've chosen, I've been there, it's rec, it's fun. But let me just explain that rule is when you play in co-ed, you have to have a minimum of two females on the court. You're playing on the men's height because you can't put a male on the women's height net because it would be dangerous. Roughly, there's an 8-inch difference in the height in nets. The speed of the ball is much faster. The world record between a woman's serve and a men's serve is roughly 20 miles per hour difference. It's different. And I'm 5'3". You can't tell from the camera, but I would not have even a chance to compete at a collegiate level at 5'3" if I was competing against men, because the average height for my position is almost 6 foot. So, right. And it's a safety hazard that, I mean, I thought the whole volleyball world knew. We thought we were like, yeah, that's why we have all these differences between men and women's volleyball. And, but we see it as recently as today, where there are biological males playing in female sports.
And Riley Gaines has obviously been someone leading the charge on this. She's been an amazing spokesperson affiliated with IWF. You've spoken out, others have as well. I'm assuming the NCAA is feeling the heat these days, correct?
We would like to think so, but because we're definitely applying it. We're definitely applying the heat. I will say that female athletes, both for that are current and former, Olympians, Paralympians, we're putting the pressure on the NCAA. And I think given what we know and conversations we've had is that they know it. We're putting the pressure on them to make the right decision, not only for their current female athletes, but for their future female athletes who aspire to play at the NCAA. It is an honor. And it is a goal of many athletes in any sport to play at NCAA level. And they need to do the right thing because it is for the future of their sport and for the future of their athletes.
And I want to talk a little bit about some other movement that has happened when it comes to Title IX, and just a little background on Title IX. This is the 1972 law that prohibits sex discrimination, but the Biden administration has revised the rules. Instead of it just being about sex discrimination, they've now included sexual orientation and gender identity. This is stripping away protections from women. This will take effect August 1st. IWF has spoken out on this. A lot of our spokeswomen have. What does this mean to rewrite this? What does this mean practically for women, not just in sports, but across the board?
It's again taking away opportunities. It is now where we see awards and scholarships, and not just sports scholarships, academic scholarships that were reserved for women, now are going to go to anybody who identifies as a woman, which the actual check of that is a checkbox that someone says, I feel like a woman, I'm checking this box, I'm a female. And so by the rewrite of Title IX, basically tearing apart the definition of a woman, it undermines all of the hard work that women did over 50 years ago to protect and create spaces for and opportunities for women. And I'm really saddened to see this from the administration. It does have a huge play in sports, but it's also going to have a huge play in education. And that's why IWV, we have worked on the Women's Bill of Rights, which we've codified in states, that defines what a woman is and defines being a woman as your biological sex. And this Title IX completely contradicts that and basically throws that definition out the door.
Yeah, and let me give some more specifics of what this does. So as you mentioned, this does mean that men can take academic and athletic scholarships from women. Men will have full access to bathrooms, locker rooms, et cetera. Men could be housed in dorm rooms with women, students and faculty. This is a big one. Must compel their speech by requiring the use of preferred pronouns. So if you don't use the preferred pronoun, you could be punished for that. Actually, you could be charged with harassment. So even people listening to this, they may say, well, I don't know anyone competing in sports or whatever it may be. This is across the board. This is in your workplace. This is in education. If you don't use the right pronouns, you can be charged with harassment. This is far-reaching, isn't it?
1,000%. My husband is a nice Southern gentleman who says, thank you, ma'am, all the time, or no, sir, yes, sir. And we've been in situations where he's definitely used the wrong pronoun, just came out. And it's not an intentional towards a human, but the fact that, it's the fact that that could be considered harassment or a hate crime by making a mistake. And I like to assume that all people are good. We're all trying to do our best. And the fact that a mistake on misgendering or could be taken that far because of this Title IX rule is absolutely absurd.
Well, let me just throw it to some of our audience members. As far as I know, a lot of people who are listening, they want to get involved. They know that there's a big fight. What can people do who are listening, who want to support IWF, the women who are fighting for keeping women's sports female? What can they do?
So I will touch on the sports one first. I encourage everyone to go to ourbodiesoursports.com. Our action is there. We work with a coalition of groups, both on the left and right. We're all fighting for this cause to keep women's sports female. So highly recommend reaching out to the NCAA Board of Governors through that site and staying up to date with what our coalition is doing. And then on the Title IX front, our law center does plan to sue the administration for these regulations that they have put on these changes. So I highly would recommend, if you can, invest in Independent Women's Law Center, which is IWLC.org, where our wonderful director, Mae Mailman, and is really just pushing for us to do the right thing at the administrative level and fight back against these Title IX regulations.
And you and others have shared their stories here. I want to let our listeners know they can go to IWF, which does have storytelling campaigns to fight for fairness in women's sports. You can hear from the women themselves by going to IWF.org. But just in closing, I want to remind our listeners, big decision by the NCAA Board of Governors this week. We don't know if the decision will be made, but the pressure will be put on from IWF and IW's whole entire team. Adriana McLam with IWF, thank you so much for your work on this and joining us today.
Thank you so much for your time.
And thank you all for joining us. Before you go, IWF does want you to know that we rely on the generosity of supporters like you. An investment in IWF fuels our efforts to enhance freedom, opportunity, and well-being for all Americans. So please consider making a small donation to IWF by visiting IWF.org/donate. That's IWF.org/donate. Last, if you enjoyed this episode of She Thinks, do leave us a rating or a review. It does help. And we love it if you shared this episode so your friends can know where they can find more She Thinks. From all of us here at IW, thanks for watching.